Well, good morning, and welcome to the Carson Anderson Radio Program. Back in studio, myself, along with my partner, Scott Anderson. Keg's behind the glass. How you doing today, Keg? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys doing? I don't notice. Your voice sounds different without leaf bolt blowers or something.
Yeah,
I know,
right?
Okay.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Do what you can do, you know, fire something up.
How many leaf blowers were there at one point?
I think there were, like there were several 10. Teams. You know, yeah. Look, there's a reason that course is immaculate.
They
right?
came in squadrons.
Yeah. Alpha team, go. Beta team, you're on deck.
Stand down. They're in commercial break.
Double deck, Charlie. Yep. Double deck.
They're back on the air. Yeah, go, go, right. go.
Exactly, right? Where's the mower?
How you doing today?
Aside from being a little sunburnt, I'm okay.
Are you a little sunburned?
Well, can you tell with my forehead?
You look fine. Yeah. It doesn't look too bad.
My arms are...
You know,
I'll be all right.
Grandma Karsh, who at one point was Grandma Heckamin, was a Delaware Indian, and I'm very fortunate in that when I do get a lot of sun, if I burn, it feels like it just goes away quickly. I'm really lucky.
That's good. Yep. Grandma Olson, who was Grandma Hedstrom... lived up in just outside the North Pole in Sweden. So,
and the reaction to the sun's a little different on the Anderson side.
Well, it's on the Olsen side. Yeah, my mother's mother. Yeah, that a little different when you're up, within miles of the North Pole.
I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
Arctic Circle. I'm sorry.
Well, so the where I land is we have Grandma Karsh, who is Delaware Indian. Married Fritz Karsh, who escaped Nazi Germany, literally. And on the other side, we've got two O'Briens who came over on a boat from Ireland. So between my kids, I've got one that's definitely Irish, two that are more.
I see the one. Yeah, I see the difference, yeah.
So you get Irish and you get American Indian. And
yeah, we have, so the Anderson side, there's some Irish, some German. I think maybe a sliver of English in there, but I think it's typically Irish and German. But the mom side, the Olsen side, is all Sweden. So yeah, part of it. My grandfather was Stockholm, and my grandmother was up in the Luleå, which is way up.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But anyway,
and my brother, there is a difference though. My dad actually he could tan a little bit. My brother tans reasonably well. Me, not so much.
You just fry.
But I'm not like completely
no,
a
you
ghost.
No, you look okay.
Yeah, I can, you know, put on a little bit of a tan. But
well, thank you to the people at Oakland Hills that helped out with the broadcast yesterday. So, back in studio today, NBA Finals, interesting game last night. Spurs showed a little grow up. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm really upset with myself for not saying this yesterday because my thought was when I said is Wemby just they lack the experience right now, they're too young, and what I wanted to say was they do for now, but this is a team that can grow up quickly. Like this, I'm not going to be surprised.
You wanted to predict what was going
to
happen,
and
you didn't.
Yeah, here we go.
We talked a lot about the grow up and how they looked. It looked like a young team at the end of some games, some key moments in game one and game two.
Is it too late if I say Spurs and six?
No, go ahead. Say it.
Spurs and six.
So.
That was really
galactic, right? Do you really believe it?
Yeah, I do. Because I thought the Spurs were a way better team than the Knicks anyway. And I'm like, I can't believe the Knicks are up 2-0. And the Spurs just didn't finish things off. And okay.
If it's Spurs and six, that means the home team will go. We'll only win one game the whole series.
That's right.
Yeah. Road court advantage. You know, I mean, last night, I don't think I'm particularly susceptible to hype.
You don't believe the hype?
Well, I maybe I was last night. Maybe I just had a moment. But, you know, the game was on. I was making dinner. I had all the pregame stuff on. And I got to tell you, this feels like one of the biggest deals. And I have no point of reference. I have no way of knowing this is true. But watching it in the pregame and the buildup last night for game three of the NBA Finals, I felt like this is like the biggest game in the history of New York City. Any sport. This felt massive to me. I was getting Super Bowl vibes with all the celebrities in the buildup. And I'm like, God, I'm falling for the hype here. But,
yeah, you are.
But between the ticket prices and Celebrity Row and just the scenes outside the arena...
I don't think we should make any mistake about this. The Super Bowl is bigger, right? For even for New Yorkers, I just think that because the Knicks haven't won, they're the last team that hasn't won a title in New York since the 70s, I guess, right? 71 or whatever it was. But it's also, you only get 19, 20,000 people in that stadium. Mm-hmm. So it is a premium. And now that they've reached the finals, it's the new hotness. It's right here. Do I think it would have been the same thing for if the Rangers were there? No. But I think it's because there's only 20,000 people, so it gets all hyped up.
I got caught up in the moment. Oh, like, no. I seriously got caught up in the moment in terms of how big this game was, which two things about that. I think the Knicks got caught up in the moment. That was one of the most careless first 5 minutes of a basketball game I've ever seen.
Oh.
Like, when we got frustrated with the Pistons and the turnovers and how can you turn it, how can you Cade, how can you do, just watch last night and you realize it can happen to anybody.
Happened late too.
For and the Knicks, yes, it did. Early in the game, though, I thought they got caught up in the moment, and I got to give San Antonio a ton of credit because I thought they answered the moment. And I just keep thinking about putting the Pistons in this context. How would they respond? And I suspect it's very difficult for a young team to go into that stage and that environment and respond in a positive fashion. But again, San Antonio deserves a boatload of credit. And I thought the Knicks probably, with all of the hype and the pregame, and I mean, look, they're running out of the tunnel, and I think it was Shaq that said, "I'm getting goosebumps," or maybe it was Carmelo. I don't remember who it was. Kang, do you remember that?
No, I don't remember, right, but I do. I know what you're talking about with the atmosphere and everything like that. Yeah. It's huge, obviously, because it's the Knicks. We get it. Yep. You know what I mean? They haven't been there forever.
It's Ben Stiller.
It's considered the mecca of basketball for a lot of people. And, you know, you mentioned Celebrity Row, just, you know, sitting presidents in the stadium, all this stuff. It's huge, right? But you're right, Doug. I think we're so hyper-focused on the Pistons and Cade Cunningham's turnover issues. They don't realize, dude, that people are turning the ball over like crazy. Stephon Castle is one of the best young players in this league. He's had some monster turnover games during this playoffs. Like, it happens, and it's tough, man. Defenses step up. And another thing I noticed last night, because they're letting them play defense. It's a
physical as hell.
Yeah, I can't believe the way they were calling it. I'm like thinking, do the Pistons have a shot if they call it like this? You know,
it's going to change for game four, of course. I think game four, they're going to start calling more stuff because, you know, Mike Brown was complaining about it afterwards, and that's just what happens. But I do agree with this. It was physical last night, and the foul baiting that was going on that went unrewarded was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. It's the best when that stuff doesn't get called.
I couldn't believe how many New York Knicks players, there's some Spurs too, but the Knicks players that would just hit the ground. Mm-hmm. After shots where the guys are like trying to get in position for a rebound, know they have no chance, they just hit the deck hoping they're going to get some call. Like, would you stop? This is basketball. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But that's what they've been conditioned to do now.
Again, if you put the Pistons in that context, and I mean, that's a beef stew kind of game. And that's a Jalen Duren kind of game. I mean, that's a game that I think the Pistons could play in a game like that. And if it's going to be that physical, now the Pistons got a lot of growing to do and they need to add some stuff. Because like early in the game, they established Wemby the way we'd like the Pistons to establish Duren early in a game. And then that opens up the perimeter. I don't know what San Antonio was in the first quarter from three, but I suspect it was outstanding. They were 4 of 7 from three because they were getting
better than 50%.
They were getting open threes because they could throw the ball in the area code of Wemby, which they didn't do enough at the end of game two, throw in the area code of Wemby, and he would go up and grab it over here and dunk it over there. Like, it's amazing the wingspan that this guy has. Thanks, Doug. This just in, Wemby tall. But you know, if the Pistons could establish...
Even Gronk no Wemby tall.
Yeah. If the Pistons could establish Duren early in a game... The guy that they could establish during the regular season and just didn't in the postseason. It would certainly open things up for all of their current shooters and their soon to be added shooters. He says, hopefully crossing his fingers, but enough leg humping the NBA finals. Got some stuff to get caught up on that we didn't get to yesterday. Plus we'll have open lines 248-539-9797. You look like you're dying to say something.
We have some local breaking news that we'll deliver in 4 minutes.
Whoa. Okay. We'll get to that coming up here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.